So sometimes I'm not real good about doing what I'm told. I drag my feet just a little bit. So, what, maybe 2 years ago? Maybe longer? Shut up, Marie. Rick and I left out of here, and it was a Sunday afternoon that I did not have a pickup immediately out of church. And we were going over to the other store, you know. And I had a few things to get. I shopped the flyers. And so we come in the store, and as we come in the store, we run into Joe and Matt. And Joe and I got to talking. The sermon was particularly good that day, and we got to talking about the things of the Lord, and, you know, a couple of women, and we're blah, 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 back and forth. And her cart is full. Thankfully, there was no ice cream in it. And I think we had managed to pick up bananas when this conversation started. And we kept going, and we kept going. And, you know, if you all know Matt very well, he's a little quiet, and he's grinning, and he's listening, you know, and every so often he's tossing a little bit in there. And my husband, now, don't let Rick fool you, okay? Because he puts on this, you know, he's so reserved. Okay? The man can keep up with any woman. Okay? You can set him down in a room full of women, and he can just chicken talk with the rest of us. So he's quiet. He's off over here. I see him out of my peripheral, and we're and he's off over here, and he's pacing around in circles, and he's come back over, and he's off pacing again, you know. And I kind of thought, and we kept talking, and we kept talking, and this conversation, unfortunately, went on for about a half an hour, and a really good sermon that day, and Rick keeps pacing around over here by the bananas, and I'm thinking he's getting ticked. He wants to go home. He's got something he wants to do, and I'm holding him back. And so I need to kind of end this conversation, you know. And you know how hard it is, you women in here, when you're trying to end a conversation, but it's a good conversation, so you're kind of trying to end it, but, you know, then they say, and then you say, you know. So finally, before her milk spoils, she heads to the register, and we head down one of the aisles. And now he's probably mad at me. And he doesn't get mad at me very often, so I kind of don't want to push the envelope. So I'm on a mission. Got my flyer in front of me. And, you know, there's those things that you got to shop, and there's those things that you just go pick up. And I'm focused, and I'm there. And I'm in deep thought, and I'm about to ask my kindly husband to please go off and find this or that for me. And he comes up behind me and he says, you know that accident you almost had? No, what accident? I don't want to know what accident, don't care what accident, I'm on a mission here. And I do have a pickup this afternoon, so, you know, so much time left. You know that one that you almost had when you worked at Chrysler? Are you serious? 30-some years ago. Oh, no. Really, Rick? Yeah, what about it? And then I'm kind of, you know, have you ever said, let something come out of your mouth, and you're kind of go, I didn't mean to say that. But I already said it. So immediately on the heels of that, I said, would you go get me two? And while you're over there, grab one. Yes, I will. And off he goes. Whew. Okay, so off I go in the next direction to pick up the next thing, and he comes back, and nothing more is said for a few minutes, and he says, you know, God told me over there when you and Joe were talking that you were supposed to die in that accident. Now that's joyful. So you're right. So I looked at him, and I was like, I don't even want to know. I mean, I didn't say that, but I'm thinking, I don't even want. Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad I didn't, and off, you know. But it kept haunting me. Now, Some of you were here when I gave my testimony. You know that there were two times in my life that I felt death right here. It was very clearly death. And so from time to time, I would think about that. I didn't feel no death. Of course, I was a little busy reacting at the time, but I didn't feel no death. He's full of baloney. And it kept coming back, and it kept coming back, and it kept coming back. And then one day I said, okay, well, thank you that I didn't die. Thank you that you responded, and all is right with the world. And I'm going on. And then I hear Brett very clearly in my head go, that'll teach. And I said, no, it won't. And I went on with my life. Yeah, so he keeps coming back after me, and I keep going. Finally, I say, okay, I'm going to do this. And I lied is what I did. Because you can see it's like 2 years or more later. About a year ago, Joanna taught a great message. The thing that I remember about it is the, can't remember the name of it, the art with the broken pottery and put back together with the gold. Where's your wife? Is she working? What's it called? Anyway, it's beautiful. That stuck with me, you know. It really stuck with me. And I remember coming up here and telling her, okay, you convinced me. God's been bothering me to go up and tell this story, and I don't really want to tell this story. I don't want to hear my stories. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up here and do it. And I lied again, just flat out, like, because I knew I wasn't coming up here. But as you can see, God is patient. God is kind. But he be persistent. Okay? So recently I grudgingly agreed. And life got a whole lot easier for me after that. No more of this, you know, I'll teach, you know, really need to do that. And what happened was I learned some things that I really didn't catch the first time around in the process of going after this teaching again. This story again. So I'm 20-something. I was born late. I asked my mama. She loves to tell how I was supposed to be born at 9 in the morning, but I was born at 9 at night, and she was in hard labor the whole time. They didn't give you drugs back then. They didn't induce labor back then, and she had to walk uphill in the snow 42 miles to give birth to, you know, the story. She loves to tell it. So I was late, kind of been late ever since. I had a friend one time very seriously said, how do you get to work on time? I leave way early. The goal is way early, okay? So I've got this 15-minute ride to work and a 7-minute ride home from work because I work second shift. And I'm living in Fenton, Missouri. Now, Fenton, Missouri is a little town. And it's just a stone's throw. In fact, part of it actually is in St. Louis County, and part of it is in Jefferson County. And it's the kind of place that, you know, city people call the country. But the country people, they call it the city. So it's kind of an in-between, you know. And they have a downtown Fenton. I don't know what it's like now. I bet it's crazy. But back then, it was kind of like downtown Lake Placid or Lake Boulevard. Where there was, it was wider. It was a 4-lane. The speed limit was a little faster. And there were more businesses and restaurants, and there was a Walmart and all this kind of nonsense. And so if I left on time for work, I started work at 4:30, so if I left on time for work, I would leave at about 3:30, 3:35. And that gave me 15 minutes to get to work. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever worked in I built automobiles for a living. It's a huge place. One of the first things that you learn when you work in a place like this is you park in the same place all the time. Always. If you don't, you will spend the next hour and a half after your shift wandering around looking for your car, and it isn't fun. You're tired. Okay? Not amusing. So you learn within the first week that you pick a place, you park there, you always park there. That never changes. It's etched in stone. Now me, when I come barreling off a Dodge Drive and hung a left into the big blue gates, first light post on the right, bam, that was me, okay? And so that means I had about a 10-minute walk up to the guard shack. From there, I had about another 12-minute walk from there to my workstation, which was almost dead center of the plant, but I stopped at the cafeteria on the way to grab me a couple of big old glasses of ice and water and see my friend Gracie. So, you know, I needed some time to do all of this, okay? And plus, it was always good to have that 10 minutes to just sit on the parking lot and think about it. Kind of had to gear yourself up, you know? So it's about 10 minutes to 4, and I'm just walking out the door. And I live up in a trailer park up on top of this hill, and I come down a road every day that I run twice a day every day, aptly named Saline Road. And it goes about straight down the side of a small hill. In this area, it's kind of like the foothills to the Ozarks. The Ozarks are about 4 hours west on I-44, and it's hilly and it's bumpy, and you kind of wind and you twist around. And you get down to the bottom of the hill, and there's a hard 90-degree turn to the right and a straight strip that goes up to a stoplight, and there's Highway 141. It's a four-lane, but it's actually got a medium. It's a pretty busy road, and you always hit that light coming from where I'm coming from. And when you cross that light, you're on Gravois Road. Gravois Road goes right through the heart of downtown Fenton. I don't know where it goes beyond that. I know that you go a little bit beyond where I would normally spend my time. And it drops to two lane, and then it goes over this rickety bridge over the Merrimack River. And if you went to the other side, I went over there one time because I'm not real fond of those kind of bridges. Went over there one time because there was a put-in down there, and there was a guy that rented boats and fishing tackle and sold worms and whatnot. And he had a guard turkey. Now, those of you that know me and critters, I had to go see the guard turkey. I'd heard stories about the guard turkey. So I did go down there one time. I met the guard turkey. He stood about this tall. He was nasty as the day is long. He was like having a flock of geese come after you if you go down there after dark. But during the day, he would just check you out. And he wouldn't let you pet him. So he wasn't any fun for me. So that was the first and last time I went over that bridge. I don't know where it goes from there because Gravois Road is kind of a funny road. It starts actually down on the south side of St. Louis at a place called Ted Drew's. Ted Drew's is a little shack about yay big, and it sits on about a, you know, mile square parking lot. And it's an ice cream shop. They are the original ones that would hand you the ice cream upside down when you ordered, went in there and ordered you up concrete. They're the original ones that did that, and they weren't kidding when they called it a concrete. And just St. Louis tradition just isn't any more fun in the world than to go up in there, oh, about December 5th, December 6th, when it's 29 degrees out and dark, order you up a concrete, and go wander in a winter wonderland on that parking lot, which is full of every kind of tree, and every kind of, they're making boughs, and they're making big, long, big brown wreaths, and little round wreaths, and it just smells so heavenly. And you're probably about three quarters of the way home and your hands are numb before you can actually start to eat that ice cream. Not that you want to because you're cold enough. But that's where Gravois Road started. Gravois Road actually is something y'all might be familiar with. Anybody heard of Route 66? It starts right there. That's Route 66. And it goes all the way out west to Joplin, Missouri, and then it actually goes all the way onto the coast. There are idiots every summer that make a rod run out of it. You know, and the fun part is trying to find Gravois Road. Now, when you take Gravois Road out to Interstate 270, and you move, that's kind of the bypass for St. Louis, and you move out beyond that on I-44, about every third exit is Gravois Road, what's left of it. Stumped me for years when I first moved out that way, and then I finally found out that it was Route 66, and they ran the highway through it, and so there's little pieces of it everywhere. Well, this was a little piece of it. It didn't intersect with the highway anywhere, but this was just a little strip of Gravois Road going through the heart of downtown Fenton. And so I come down the hill at about 10 miles an hour faster than I should have, and slowed down for that turn, and as I'm coming for the light and I'm just about to slow down, I see it turn green. Now, God's with me, yeah? I'm going to make up some time here. Yeah? Whoom, right through that light I go. I don't even look to the right or the left. I don't care. Just shoom. And I'm in the left-hand lane automatically, and I got to go down about a half a mile and hang a left in front of the church behind Noggles or whatever the name of that place was. And little side street and go down by the ice house and hang a left on the river road, and then I could open it up, because there's nobody down there but about four other Chryslerites. And it runs all the way under 44, loops up around, and drops you off on Dodge Drive. So I'm cooking. I'm doing about 45 and a 35, and I'm looking around, and now westbound traffic at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is much heavier than eastbound traffic, because there's more people coming home from work than there are going to work. But both sides of the road are pretty heavy, and the westbound side looks like 40 going west in the depressed section. Okay, it's just crazy. It is bumper to bumper. They're moving about 2 miles an hour. I'm like, did I take a wrong turn? Am I up in the city somewhere? And I'm cooking along at a pretty good clip, and I'm looking over at this, and I'm just amazed at this much traffic. And I look back just in time to see this 90-foot-long 1970s green station wagon parked in front of me, blocking both lanes of the eastbound traffic, just sitting there. Now, there's etiquette to pulling out in traffic. And when you're going to pull out in traffic, you tend to look back at the nearest light. There's one only just a little ways down the road. And you watch for that break in the traffic, and you pull out then so that the next group of people coming along, you know, they've got time to go, oh, car parked. Maybe I better slow down. Or stop, because these people over here aren't going to go anywhere. They're not going to let her in anywhere. Nope, there's a gas station there, and she just pulls out. Can I have my map, please? She just pulls out. Y'all like my artwork? I think I can compete with Joe. What do y'all say? I think I need to paint something for him to hang up here. So, let me see, can I get this on? Which one's which here? Hey, all right, where am I? I'm going to have to, there, that's me, okay? There's the yacht. This is a gas station here. It's a two-tanker, so it's got room for four cars, and there's enough room on that side between there and the building to drive through, and there's enough room on this side between the tanks and the island to drive through, and that's it. It's a mom and pop. And in Missouri, we have these things called sewers. So we don't need islands the size of parking lots. We have little islands like that. Slap a couple of shrubs in there, put a good foot-high curb on there so you don't flip over. And that takes care of any excess water if it rains real hard, okay? So I'm coming along this way, looking at this mess, wondering what in heaven's name is going on. And I look back just in time to look in the whites of this woman's eyes. Because she's focused on Walmart over here and how she's going to get across this mess. And she doesn't even see any of this oncoming traffic or care. And she looks back at me about the same time. And I know that her life was flashing before her eyes. Because her life was flashing before my eyes. Oh my God, I'm going to T-bone her. She's going to die. That was the first thought that popped into my head. So, okay. All right. So, I'm just barely an average driver, okay? And I'm 10 miles over the speed limit, and I'm maybe from here to that front row from her at 45 miles an hour. Poof, okay? So there's not a lot of reaction time there. I yank the wheel as hard right as I can. Kind of thought, you know, one of those Laurel and Hardy skits where the wheel comes off in your hand, you're kind of waiting for that to happen. I yank the wheel as hard right as I can. I'm aware that there's a guy just about in my blind spot here. I yank the wheel as hard right as I can. And I think to myself, I hope that he's in control of his car because there sure isn't anything I can do about him. He is on his own. I yank the wheel hard right, and I start heading this way, and I get about right here, and I think to myself, my God, I'm not going to T-bone her. Well, I'm going to take her rear end clean off. She had no business parking it there in the first place. She wouldn't have that problem. Not feeling real merciful towards the lady, okay? So as I come around, and I'm watching, okay? I'm driving, and I'm watching, and I see she's this far, right here, okay? Wow, look at that. And I look up, and there's not enough room between her rear end and this nearly a foot tall curb for me to fit through there. So after I think I'm going to take her rear end clearing off, and I look down and go, oh, I might just miss her. And I look up, and the next thought is there is not room for me to go through there. It's a little late. Okay? Boom, right through there I go. Any Harry Potter fans in here? You know, I don't know which movie it was, the one with the double layer buses and the, yeah. Why the face is so long and they go in between the two, yeah, okay. So I whiz through here, and about right here, I start hitting my brake. Because all I had time for back here was to remove my foot from the gas. And if I'd have hit my brake, first of all, it was too much to think about. Second of all, I might have, you don't know what could happen. So about right here, I hit the brake, and I swung around here in between gas tanks and people gassing up and people wanting to pull out behind her and people wanting to come in over here. And I come around to about right here. That's me in the pink. Stopped dead. And when I did, my heart was beating so hard that it was just bouncing off the steering wheel. Just bah, 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 bah. And this guy here, who was in my blind spot, comes around behind me, and I'm trying to keep from going in shock, because now I'm really late, and I don't have time for none of that mess. He pulls up alongside of me. He says, hey, lady, roll the window down. Now, it's cold out. I know it's cold out because I remember looking at this traffic and going, well, it's not Christmas yet. But in this part of St. Louis, or this part of Missouri, the sun goes in, about November 1, comes back out sometime in May. So it's cloudy, it's dark. It wasn't quite Christmas yet. I figured sometime in early November. I know it's a Friday. There's a reason for that. And he comes around here beside me. He's like, lady, roll your window down. And I rolled my window down, and I'm thinking to myself, shut up. I'm trying to breathe here, you know? Man, lady, I ain't never seen driving like that. I've never seen driving like that. And he throws out the name of some race car driver. Now, I'm not a sports fan. Little St. Louis Cardinals baseball, that's probably the beginning and the end of it. But the name was popular enough that I knew what he was making reference to. Just couldn't repeat it all these years later. And he threw the heat up, he'd be impressed. I never saw the like. And I looked at him. I think this was the first time I ever got prophetic. I was a brand spanking new Christian, maybe had a year under my belt. And y'all are going, why are you speeding down the road like that? Because I was late for work. What are you supposed to do? So he looks over at me and he said, and I looked at him and I said, buddy, that didn't have anything to do with me. Didn't you see those two big old bad angels out there yanking my car in that Z formation, kind of back and forth like that and pulling me around that car? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, you have a nice day now. And he, boom, he was gone. He didn't want no part of that, okay? I don't want no part of that. So I sat there for a minute, and as I watched him kind of jump back out here into traffic and go, I look over and I see the Ditz over here heading catty corner across the parking lot, heading for Walmart. No. Priorities, you know. I often wonder if she ever thought about what almost happened there. Like, next time, did she look before she leaped? So I'm sitting there, and I gather myself, and I'm not going to go into shock. I pull back out, and I got to get across two lanes, because right about here is where I've got to hang my left, go down to the river road. And now I really got to make some time. And so I jump out and straight across, and I get down here. And by the time I get down on the river road, I start hooping and hollering. And I start realizing that God just did something. That sure as heck wasn't me. I'm not capable. Okay? Now, I'm going to back up for just a second. You remember Rick saying you were supposed to die in that accident? All right. Well, let's say I made this right turn and I didn't T-bone her. But as I'm going this way and I crash into her and he crashes into me, can you say roadkill? At the time, all I'm thinking about is there was two big old men. I've never seen an angel in my life, but I know they're there and I know they're real. And I know there had been at least two of them out there yanking my... I'm telling you, if you look, it's almost a Z there that I had to kind of, you know, back and forth. To get, and I didn't fit. I didn't fit through that space allotted, okay? I was at least a foot short, maybe two. So I'm hooping and hollering, doing about 50, down the river road. Did I learn my lesson? About as good as she probably did. And I'm just booking. And by the time I hit the parking lot, I see the folks that I normally walk in with, and they're about 15 rows up. I don't run, never did run. Not about to start. This particular day, I was in full book. Now, this particular group of people are people that I used to run with before I got saved. And they all looking at me now like I got three heads. I weird them out every time I get near them, but I don't understand. I don't understand why I can't go through this little change and somehow y'all don't like me anymore and I freak you out and you're uncomfortable. I don't understand. Okay? So they're still my buds as far as I'm concerned. And I come running up behind them and I swing around in front of them and I'm jogging backwards. I had a little more coordination back then. And I'm telling them what just happened. You should have seen it. You should. Too big old bad. It made it just, you should have. They're going, okay then. And they're trying to change the subject because they don't want to hear about it. And I get in there and I'm, you know, you're dashing across assembly lines and stock and vehicles driving back and forth and forklifts driving back and forth. And I'm hooping and hollering like an idiot. I get into the cafeteria and I'm yelling and screaming and I'm telling my girlfriend Gracie all about what just happened. I get over to my area and talk about cutting it close. There was already a floater at my section and he heard me coming. Okay? Heard me coming, looked up, grinned, took the apron back off, set it on the table and got the heck out of Dodge before I started telling him all about what I was yelling about. Got in there, got my apron on, picked up my air gun just in time for that line to start moving. So it was cut really close, but I made it. Always make it to work on time. So I'm yelling and screaming, and the reason I know that it's Friday is because Chris was there. Chris was Monday, Friday help, and he's about five jobs down, and he can hear me. And so he's trying to work his way up, but he's on a hose too, so he can only come up so far, and he's trying to find out what's going on. You know, and I'm just yelling at everybody near me, and none of them are saved, and none of them get it, and none of them care, and, you know, I'm weirding them all out, and I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. You got to hear what happened here. It was just so amazing. And there was angels there, and they saved my life, and they saved her life. I wonder if she knows that. So, pretty exciting story. I told it all night to anybody that I could pin down. And one of the beautiful things about assembly line work is that they're captive audience. Rick knows about that, don't you? So, where am I? Let me find myself. So I just had the time of my life telling everybody that I could get to hold still about that story that night. Now, I'm going to step aside, I'm going to digress just slightly. About 16 years ago, 17 years ago, before I met Rick, I got my very first bird, and he's a little parrot. The heck was he? Not a, I got a Quaker now. It was a Meyer parrot, little parrot. And he was a young parrot, and he was looking for somebody to bond with, and I'd never had a bird before, and I was very, very excited. And we became very fast friends very quick. And he was my buddy. And then when Rick started coming around, he was an oddity. But then he moved in. And once he moved in, it was on, because I was his mate, and this interloper had no business being there. So it was on. And the bird would seek him, would get out of the cage and seek him out for his bare feet. Okay? He would have nightmares. He would have nightmares. I loved my bird. I'd take him out in the yard with me. I'd go all over the place with him. He hung out with me, or he stayed close to me, and we'd talk back and forth. And one time, the big dummy got himself way up in the top of a tree and couldn't figure out how to get back down. It was really funny. You're a bird. Fly. How hard is that? One day, Tiki got killed. It was my fault. It was really bad. And it crushed my spirit. I cried for weeks. I was so angry with myself. Even my husband missed the bird for my sake. So for many, many years, that cage sat there as a reminder of what an idiot I am, and I never had another bird. And a couple of years ago, I got a bee in my bonnet that I wanted another bird. I missed having a bird, and I wanted a bird. And so I kept saying, I want a bird. I want a bird. I want a bird. He loves me. He's going, we'll get you a bird. Well, you know I ain't going to pay for no bird. Daddy, I want a bird. Daddy brought me a bird. Honoriest bird you ever met. She just got an honorary dog, and 6 months later I got an honorary bird. It's like I'm collecting these animals or something, you know. Just finally, after about 8 months, started to feel like I was making friendship headway with her. And I took her outside with me one day to clean her cage. And she's on my shoulder, and we're talking, and I come around the corner of the house to dump the pan, you know, in the trash can, and the air conditioner kicks on, and boom, she's off. Wow. I keep calm. Cleaning the bird cage, and I'm talking to her. She's in the tree, in the stand of trees in the back of my yard in the back 40, and I keep calm, and I'm talking to her, and I'm cleaning the cage. She's talking back, and I'm thinking, any minute now you can come back down here to me. And she never did. I got her cage all clean, and I'm standing out in the middle of the backyard like an idiot, and I'm talking to her, and I'm calling her, and she's going, yeah, I don't think so. Boom, off she goes that way, and she's like four lots down. I call Bishop. He doesn't answer his phone as usual. I left a message. My bird got loose, prey, and I hung up, and down I went. I'm down there. Rick's up here. Rick's having all kind of mercy on me because he walked through the last mess with me, okay? He don't like the bird, no way, but nonetheless. And she starts flying back and forth between my yard and this yard. Now, it was a beautiful thing to see her in flight. However, her up there in flight wasn't doing me any good whatsoever. And she's making all kinds of racket, as parrots do. And then she took off that way. And we jumped in the car and took off after her. And the farther that way we went and got out and called her, the farther that way she kept going. Rick had some kind of a job that night. He says, honey, we got to go home. We're just pushing her further away. We need to just go home. I'm sick. Do you hear me? I know that when these birds take off, you never see them again. They get lost. They get killed. They get something. Hopefully, the best you can hope for is somebody else. At some point, they'll get desperate enough to go land near somebody else. And she was mean. I don't know who else could love her. She really mean. She's still mean. And anyway, I'm sick. So we go back home, he goes to work, I get in the shower, and I just wail. And it's all coming back from Tiki, and I'm just wailing. I got no business with a bird. I can't take care of a bird the way I can take care of it. I got no business with it. It just isn't right. About the time I get out of the shower, Bishop calls, and he says, did you get your bird back? No. No, she's gone, and I'm biting it back, and I'm sick at my stomach. And I never heard Bishop get so merciful with me in the years that I had known him. And I love to hear the man pray, first of all. I could sit and listen to him pray for hours, okay? I just love to hear him pray. He launches into this prayer, and it's full of mercy. And I'm... He gets done praying, and he says to me, "Don't count your bird out yet." "Yeah, right, pal. Thanks. Appreciate your love, but yeah." You know. I don't think I said too much, but I did not believe a word he said. That's the point I'm trying to make. Just you know? I know what happens. I know what happens. This must have been a Thursday, because on a Friday night, the next night, it was prayer night. And I never miss prayer night. We're sitting having dinner, getting ready to go, and I'm just sick at my stomach still. I'm so angry with me. And I said, "Rick, I can't go. I cannot inflict this heart on those people. I sure can't pray. I can't go. I know, honey. It's all right. I'm going to go." So he heads out the door, and he about hits the driveway. He turns around, comes back, and he's banging on the picture window. "Come here, come here." And he comes in the door, and he goes, "Sophie's out here." "No, she's not." "She's out here. Come on." "You're full of baloney." And I'm kind of reluctantly heading out to the door, you know. And I said, "You talking about that tree there? There's blue jays in that tree. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing blue jays squawking. That's not my Sophie." And he says, "I'm telling you, I think it's Sophie." So to humor the man, I head out the door. He's over on the, like, if this is the front door and the driveway's here, he's on this side of the house. We have a fence, our neighbor does not, so he's kind of going to head down that way. And he goes, "Did you hear that?" And I go, "It's a blue jay. Barbara, she's in the backyard. I know that it's Sophie." "Fine." So I'm heading back in, pouting, okay? And as I head for the door, I hear this squawk, and it's Sophie. It's Sophie. Now, I got to see a little rugrat furry creatures running through the house. And I very calmly walk through the house, out the garage, slap the doggy door on, walk out the door that goes from the garage out to the yard, slap that doggy door on. Love having the double door system. And out around the corner I went, and as I'm heading to the backyard, he's already in the neighbor's yard, and I hear her squawk again, and she's up in the stand of trees in the backyard where she was yesterday. I'm standing in the backyard, and I'm talking to her, and she's talking back, and I'm talking, and she's talking back, and I can't see her. Okay, she's green and gray in a stand of scrub oaks full of moss. So and finally I go, you know, my heart's prayer for many years was, "I want to know you. Marty knows you as Daddy. I want to know you as Daddy, and I'm just entering into this phase, okay? Daddy, help me to see her." And almost immediately, there she is, and she comes into view. It was the most amazing thing. "Sophie, come on. Come on." And she flies down, dive bombs me, flies right over my head and heads that way. And I didn't move. I didn't dare move. And I talked to her, and she talked back. And I talked again, and she talked back. And I turned around, and I looked at Rick, and I said, "Go on, you're going to be late. I got this." So out the door, back out to the car he goes. And I'm looking on, she's got to be on the roof of the house, which is behind me, right? So I'm looking on the roof of the house, "Dad, where is she?" And with that, she comes out of the stand of trees to my side, flies up and lands right here. I went, both hands. I didn't move. I didn't even breathe. Just about. And I'm holding her, and I'm talking to her, and she's just kind of sitting underneath my hand, all snuggled down in there. And it's hotter than Hades. It's like August, okay? But I didn't care. Serves her right. So I come back through the house. Sea of dogs wants to know what I got on my chest, and it ain't none of your business what I got on my chest. And straight back to the office I go, and I shut the door behind me, and I pick her up, and I put her in her cage, and she looks for all of her stuff had been out of there. Okay, I'd already run through the dishwasher, stacked up on my desk. And she goes for her bath dish, and she goes for a water dish, and there's nothing. She starts squawking at me like there's nobody's business. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Give me a minute. Call husband. I say, Rick, tell Bishop Sophie's back. She's safe in the house in her cage. I've got her back. He hangs up the phone. He turns around. He says, Bishop, she's got Sophie back. He says, I know. Well, I'm glad you did, because I sure as heck didn't. I did not see that coming. So I took care of my Sophie, fell deeply in love with her. I think she decided I was all right after that, too, because she quit biting on me so much. And I felt so guilty. And I come in here on Sunday. You know, I let the man alone on Sunday, other than, hey, what's up? You know, and I come in here and I said, can I talk to you after church? Sure. So the four of us are back there in the little room. Margie, you were there. You remember this? And I said, I owe you an apology. He says, yeah, what for? Because he's sure I did something. I'm always doing something. And I go, you prayed the sweetest prayer. And I appreciated your heart so much, but I did not believe a word you said, not a word you said. Not a word. Didn't believe it. And I'd known him long enough to know how creepy accurate he is, but I did not believe a word that he said, okay? Just wasn't having none of it. And I said, I didn't believe you. And I was wrong. And the mercy was gone. He turned and he looked at me. And he said, if you would just believe, God would move heaven and earth for you. He'll hold time for you. He'll bend nature for you, but you won't believe. When are you going to believe? Let's see. Shut my mouth wide open. So I sat there for a minute. I said, I don't know, but I'm going to be terrible to behold when that day comes. Got me out of there with my skin. So back to my story here. In all the time that it took for me to think, I'm going to T-bone her, I'm going to kill her. I'm not going to hit her, but I'm going to take her rear end off. I'm going to make it. There's not enough room. Let me get all the way around there to a stop. 3 to 6 seconds. I mean, from here to there, I had maybe 1 second to react. I'm on it, you know? But it took about, what did it take? About 18 seconds for me to just kind of think all of that and react and move. I believe God bent time. I believe he not only bent time, but I believe there were probably not two, but four angels or more out there holding that car back, pulling me through that twisted, knotted mess and shrinking. Okay, how did I fit through there? Avoiding cars, gassing up, pulling in, pulling out in this little bitty tight space. Now, this is the point of the story. When I turned my head and looked back at that woman, looked at that woman, saw her, I had time for one word to come out of my mouth. Anybody know what that word might have been? I bet I know what word came out of her mouth. But the word that came out of my mouth was Jesus. Just a whisper. Just a breath. Jesus. That's all the time there was. And I had to start reacting. My mind don't compute that fast. But in that moment, God moved heaven and earth for me. Me. My first scripture is a little lengthy. We might want to pass it up. Go ahead and put it up. I'll just go straight to the bottom. Because I did the Amplified Bible. I'm going to pick up down here at pick up at 8. It's talking about Jesus here. The he here is Jesus. After he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, Rick and I were talking about this on the way over. For this reason, because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him, here it comes, the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess, openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, hallelujah, to the glory of God the Father. Daisy, did you just say, oh, daddy, 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 heal my lungs, or did you use the name of Jesus? You didn't use the name of Jesus? I got to read this as I wrote it. Through the name of Jesus, God reveals himself to mankind. It is not an arbitrary name chosen by humans, but rather the name that the Father in heaven gave to his Son, thus designating him as his own Son and introducing him to us. Now, in biblical times, names meant something. I consider myself very fortunate that my mother didn't name me for being born 12 hours late and causing her so much trouble. Biblical names were a way to, they represented the very essence of the person. And a prime example of this is Jobez. See, this would have been my mother. Y'all remember him? He's somewhere in that little bitty half a paragraph in, it's in the middle of all the begatting. Lamentations or something. Mama called him Jabez because she gave birth to him in pain. Well, duh. Jesus, Yeshua, means God delivers, saves, rescues, and I might add heals. The name of Jesus not only preaches salvation, but it also creates it. Jesus is the Lord, the maker, and the upholder of all things in the universe. Can I have my next scripture? At the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. The name of Jesus is the only authentic, heaven-certified, earth and hell-recognized name capable of saving any mess. And we can do some messes. Also, according to Acts, the name of Jesus can nullify oppression of any sort. Jesus is also the name for victory. If you call on that name, defeat will give way. Can I have my next scripture? I love this. David was a pipsqueak of a kid. 15-year-old, pimple-faced, nobody. His family ignored him. And they're all out there quaking in their heels over this giant. David walks up there and goes, well, really? And he comes up to him and he says, David says to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Praying in the name of Jesus is not a tagline at the end of a prayer. It is imperative the use of this name comes with a deep understanding that there is nothing good in you and I. But he has given us the right to enter in by way of his great name. I enter into the Holy of Holies by his name. Can I have my next scripture? We're going to do it again because I really want to drum this one in. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Please do not be lackadaisical in the use of this name. The PC police go so far out of their way to tell you you can't use the name of Jesus, it's offensive. Yeah, it is to the enemy. Bishop teaches us that every thought we think is a prayer. However, it's our words that are container for powers. I would go one step further and say that without the name of Jesus, without reverence and use of the name of Jesus, the bulk of the power lacks. He himself tells us, next scripture, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In his name. We have a warrior in here today, somewhere. There he is. And he's going to show us how to wield a two-edged sword. Come on up. The name of Jesus is a powerful two-edged sword. And without that name of Jesus, there's no power in your prayer. We are to wield the name of Jesus in reverence, as a warrior would wield a two-edged sword. Don't play with the enemy. Do not play with the enemy. He loves it when you pray in his name, in God's name, in your name. Who are we talking about? Are we? Really? Then why aren't we using the name of Jesus? Because somebody says don't use it? Because we might offend somebody? Really? Time's tough. The power is in the name. Only the name of Jesus carries the power and the authority that is needed, especially in these last and evil days. Do not hesitate in private, in public, in church, in your home, to speak forth the name of Jesus. Not in your name, not in his name, not in God. All that does is please the PC police and leave the door wide open. The power is in the name of Jesus. You will touch heaven and change earth with your prayers when you pray in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. A couple of years ago, God showed me that we're that standard. But if we have no power in our prayers, how much of a standard are we? How are we going to hold back that flood? This year, as you call out the name of Jesus in faith, it will work wonders in your life and in your circumstance. Please don't hesitate to use the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.